this summer we're talking about road trips, and I love a road trip. They're fun, they're exciting, you never know what's going to happen. And I've taken road trips all over the place, literally all over the world. I've been to several different countries and had to go from one side of the country to the other, and in America. And so it doesn't really matter where you are, they're exciting and they're fun. And they're tiring sometimes, right? There's the long stretches that you have to go through. So we've taken this concept of a road trip and put it on our life as a whole, because our life really is a journey. And you might think, well, if I get to that destination, you know, I remember the first destination I thought was when I get my driver's license. When I get my driver's license, man, it's just the world's going to be a different place. I mean, that's where I want to, I can't wait to get there. And then it was when I get married. Man, I can't wait to get married. And I realized the older I've gotten that those are not destinations. Those are just stops along the way. Those are gateways to the next leg of the journey, okay? We could call those rest stops. We could call those buckies. Come on, somebody. You gotta get to where you can get some bucky bites, and then you get some gas, and you keep on going down the road. If you constantly think that you're going to get to some place and it's going to solve all your problems, you got another thing coming, right? You have another leg of the journey coming your way. So I want to talk to you today about your travel companions. Who's traveling with you in the car? Who's with you in the plane? Who's with you, you know, on the boat and the train, wherever you're going on your journey? Who's with you? Last week I talked about playlists. What are you listening to? What's your jams? You know, what's on your playlist as you go throughout your journey? That matters. The lyrics that you're listening to, the music that's influencing you, matters. So if you missed that, you can go back on YouTube and watch it. All of our sermons are archived on our YouTube channel. You can go to Promised Land, San Marcos. Hello. That's a good point I have to make. If you have a cell phone or a CB, speaking of road trips, mute it. Did I tell y'all about last week? Oh my goodness, it was a disaster. Phones are going off all over the place. So mute it. All right. I've taken several trips in my journey of life, and one of the people that have gone with me a lot, especially in my early years, was my sister. And so that's been one of my travel companions throughout life, and thankfully we still have a really good relationship. And I want to show you a picture of me and her. This is about 1989, 88, something like that. How many of y'all were alive back then? Y'all remember back in the old days? Yeah. So we traveled. This is in Salt Lake City, and this is one of my favorite. That's a cool picture. I like that picture. I look pretty good, but y'all probably didn't know about this other personality I have. Check out this next picture. This is me in the Pyrenees Mountains of France. That's me in the middle right there with the French hat on. And this is one of the foreign road trips I took across the country of France for 3 weeks. I traveled with this guy on the left. His name was Julien. And he was a friend of mine, and we traveled around France. And this was us hiking through the mountains, and great time. But I had just proposed to my wife about a month before this trip, and so I was sad, really, as I was going through Paris and France and all these areas, because I didn't have Erica with me. My heart was just broken, and I would journal, and I would get a phone card, and I would try to call back. This is before the internet was a big deal, and so I was just so heartbroken for my wife. Oh, yeah, everybody say, oh, yeah. All right, let's look at this last picture. This is part of the real-life road stuff. This is my sister making me sleep in the floorboard of our car as we're journeying, because she got dibs on the seat, and she shoved me down in the bottom of the floor. Anybody ever sleep on the floorboard of a vehicle? Y'all know what I'm talking about? The worst part is the hump in the middle. I don't know if they're still Cars don't have that anymore. Back in the old days, there was a big hump. You just couldn't get comfortable on that thing. So anyway, who are you traveling with in the journey of life? There's really just two points today. There's two areas that people really need to focus on and who you're journeying with. And the first one is a principle that you're taught very, very early in your driving life. Especially if you're a young woman, your parents would tell you, do not pick up hitchhikers. Do not pick up hitchhikers. I remember that very young, at a young age. Do not pick up hitchhikers. The problem is not because you don't want to be nice to people. And, you know, hitchhiking is kind of a lost art, I think. There's not a whole lot of people hitchhiking anymore, I guess because of Uber and all that kind of stuff. But there used to be a lot of hitchhikers out there. And your parent would tell you, as a young driver, do not pick them up because hitchhikers can become hijackers. And everything's good until that person that is riding in your vehicle, you know, pulls out a gun, pulls out a knife, and says, I don't want you to go where you want to go. I want you to go where I want you to go. And they hijack your route and take you off course and take you to a place that they want you to go. And not only will they hijack your route, sometimes they'll steal your money. They'll steal your vehicle. They'll carjack you. They'll harm you physically, or they'll maybe even take your life. So people don't, you know, your parents don't want you to be in danger. They don't want, because you're vulnerable, maybe you're not ready for that. Or they'll say, hey, you know, if other people are in the vehicle, you've got someone else with you, then maybe it's okay. But don't do it by yourself, because the person that gets in the vehicle with you will have more authority or power to dictate where you're going. So I want you to think about your life right now and who's in your vehicle. Who have you allowed into your vehicle of life that will have influence over you? We all like acceptance. We all like people to like us, right? And so what happens in life is that we start bringing people on the car, bringing people in the vehicle that like us. And we like that. We get addicted to that crowd that have accepted us. And all of a sudden, we begin to be influenced by the people that are around us. And you know, this is a lesson. Not only do people not want their kids to pick up hitchhikers, this is another life lesson that parents teach their kids. You know, you need to watch who you hang out with, because the values of the people you hang out with are going to start influencing you. The people that you have around you are going to start rubbing off and influencing you. And you know, we all like the same things. I like the same movies, and we like each other. We like hanging out together. And what you think is that because you have the same interests and the same likes, that you have the same values, the same ethics and morals. But in reality, there's a lot of people that like the same movies and the same food, and they like the same whatever, sports and all that. And you have all these things that connect you, but yet they're really going in a different direction in life. And if you decide to hitch up with them or yoke up with them, you're going to have a big problem. And I brought up Buc-ee's earlier, and this is really what's happening. You're both at Buc-ee's. You're both looking at the same stuff. You like the same stuff and all that. Hey, let's ride together. And you didn't realize after you leave Buc-ee's, they're going southbound and you're going northbound. Wait a minute. That's not what I thought we had something. No, I'm going this way. And you have to decide, am I going with them or am I going to part from them? Right? And our idea is, I'm going to make them come with me. I'm going to influence them to come with me. There are so many people that date this way, you know. It's called missionary dating. I'm going to date someone. Man, they don't know God. They're far from God. But man, we like all the same things. We love each other. There's the buzz in the air. We're infatuated with each other. Man, there's just something there. And so I'm gonna really help them find Jesus. I'm going to help them come with me on my journey. And there's this bonding that begins to happen with two people that are going in different directions. And it's a difficult situation. So who we hang out with determines the direction and the quality of our route. That's one thing I want to make sure you grab a hold of today. Who you're hanging out with is going to determine the direction and the quality of where you're headed. So direction's the main thing, but quality's another thing. You don't want to be yoked up with somebody that's always constantly going, wanting to go in another direction. Sometimes like, yeah, we'll go with you. Yeah, we'll go with you. Let's go this way. But the quality of the route is so difficult because their heart is not in it. So our values shape our direction. Our values shape our heart. And there's a proverb in Proverb 13. Verse 20, this is a great, great verse. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Okay? And so what's a fool and what's wise? How do I know that? Wise people realize that life is connected. So what I do today is connected to what happens tomorrow. And who I involve myself with now affects the path that I'm. So wise people understand that there's consequences to our actions. Foolish people don't realize that life is connected, and they live for the moment only, thinking, I'll just do it one time. It doesn't matter. No one else knows about this. I've isolated this situation. This is not who I am, but I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go here. I'm just going to go there. And that's foolishness. That's thinking that life is not connected. Wise people realize that. They say, hey, I'm going to reap what I'm sowing. If I'm sowing something right now, I'm going to reap the fruit of that, whether it's bad fruit or good fruit. Wise people understand that. And so I want us all to do an evaluation of who we have in our life. And man, I was really going through this week. And you may think, well, you're the pastor. You should have everybody in the car should be right for you. I want you to go a little bit further. You may not have anybody in your car of life, you know, that's trying to make you break the law, you know, or, you know, hoard stuff from the office, steal stuff, you know, do illegal things, immoral things. You may not have people that are so obviously trying to make you do that, but do you have people in your life that are not taking you on the path that God wants you to go on? You know, sometimes these people look the part, they act the part, they say the right words, maybe. They on the outside, the surface of their life, they look like me and you. And so we can get connected to people that maybe aren't who God wants us to be with. So I want you to really dig in, really think about it, and do an evaluation of who is it that's in your car. Let me ask you like this. Are the people that you hang out with dismissive of your values? You know, are they critical maybe of what you think is important or right? Now, I know some of you may be thinking, yeah, but aren't we supposed to be the light of the world? Aren't we supposed to be the salt of the earth? You know, aren't we supposed to go out and help people, minister? Yes, yes, yes. But there is a line of accountability where you start doing the things they're doing and being the people they are. So Jesus ate with sinners and ate with the publicans and all the people that, you know, the religious people are like, we would never do that. We would never eat with them. Well, Jesus didn't sin with them. You know, Jesus had accountability in that. He took his disciples with them. They did it together. There was, you know, they were making sure they were doing this in the right way. And so that's a very distinctly important situation there. Like there's a, I was talking to somebody about a ministry that was going on to people that were involved in strip clubs in different, you know, cities across America. And they reach out to the people that are working there, the men and the women that are working at these places that you would think, why, you know, that's a dirty place, that's an ugly place, how could you do that? Well, they're very clear. We're not going to send a single man in there to do the work of the Lord by himself. Everybody that's in here, listen to me closely, you know. Well, I'm going to go do the work of the Lord. That's what I was doing. I was ministering to them. There's a strategy that is healthy and right and there's accountability to that, and we can reach the people that are far, far from God with the gospel of Jesus, it works. It's powerful to change the lives and hearts of people that are very hardened and against the things of God, but there has to be the right way, the right path. So the main point of this is, are you having to adapt your values to fit in with other people? Think about that. Like when you're hanging out with other people, are you having to not say certain things, not act certain ways? Is the peer pressure of the group so strong that you feel like you can't say certain things or whatever? You need to really think through that and make sure you don't have a hitchhiker that's become a hijacker, okay? Because that's going to take you off the path. Now, so some of us have that issue. We have people in our life that are bad influences that are taking us off the path. But some people in here don't have that problem. You don't have people in your life that are that way. But you have this other issue, and that is you don't have anybody in the car with you. You're by yourself. You're driving the journey by yourself. And so there's basically three types of people in here today. There's people that have wrong people in the car. There's people that have the right people in the car. And I'm not talking to you today, okay? Other than there's a lot of people in the church that need to get in the car with you. So invite them into your life. But then there's this third group of people that are driving solo. And here's my second and final point is this. Traveling with others is slower, but it's always better. It's always better. It's slower. Now, I don't know if you realize this. When you're traveling by yourself, I've flown a lot, and so I understand how to get to the gate as fast as I can. I got the TSA pre-check. I can go to that line. I can sneak through. If I see families with toddlers, I know that's not the line I want to get in. I want to get in this line over here. Young people slow down the travel, right? And older people slow down the travel. And I'm in the older category now. I have to go to the bathroom all the time. And so I've learned as I'm traveling, I can't drink anything like from the time I get up until the time I get to wherever I'm going. Because if I'm drinking stuff, I'm going to the bathroom. I have to get the aisle seat on the plane because I don't want to be in the middle or by the window because I'm like, I have to get out. I have to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry. And then about 30 minutes, I hate to do this, but I have to go one more time. Is that all right if I, okay. It's just so awkward. I just said, so I'm slowing it down. If we're on a road trip, same thing, on a road trip. Dad, you know, used to be when I was younger, it was always the kids, like, I got to go pee. I'm hungry. I got to eat. And I was like, no, we got to get there as fast as we can. Took us 4 hours last time. It's going to take us 3.5 this time. Come on. I'm hungry. Doesn't matter. Yeah. So slows down. It slows you down to travel with other people. But I want to encourage you today to ignore the voice that says it's better to go alone. I want you to ignore that voice because going through life with other people does get messy, and it is more difficult sometimes because sometimes it's things happen that we don't like. When you're by yourself and you're isolated, that means you don't have accountability. When we're by ourselves, we will forget the truth of Jesus. The truth of Jesus is that Jesus loved you so much. He loved the world so much that he left perfection and beauty and all the things of the heavenly realm and entered into this broken world, lived here, was embarrassed and abused and beaten and murdered, basically hung on a cross to die. He died. He was buried in a tomb. I mean, just to think about God coming in the flesh and being abused and murdered and buried is an incredible story. That's what God did for us because he loved us. He took our pain. He took our punishment for our sin. He died. He was buried. He got out of the grave. He beat death once and for all. and he is an overcomer, so that everybody in here today who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved today. And you don't have to go fix your life and come to Jesus, because he's already done the work for you. All you got to do is trust in Jesus and you're saved. And then it's not just, you don't just get eternal life and beauty once you die, but he wants to bless you now. He wants to give you strength now and help you in your job and help you in your schoolwork, you know, and help you with your family, help you with, he wants to bless your finances and open up doors for you. Now he wants to do that. That's amazing. But what happens is we forget that when we're isolated and alone. We forget that. We need people in our life reminding us of the gospel, telling us about the gospel. Last week, the whole message was about how music can infuse the truth of God into us by lyrics and by the melody, by the beat. All those things help get the word of God into us so that it sticks. Today, the message is you need other people in your life holding you accountable, telling you when you stink. On a road trip, roll down the window, you stink. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to have accountability in your life to tell you these things. If not, we forget it or we ignore it. There's a man in the Bible named Elijah who saw incredible supernatural things. He saw literally fire come down from the sky and create a fire on the ground where it was soaking water. It was just a supernatural thing. There's no way humanly possible that this could happen. This altar began to catch fire and burn, and it was soaking with water. There's water all around it. But it began to burn because he spoke a word and fire came from heaven and just caused this amazing miracle to happen. So imagine being so close to God and knowing God so well that you can say, fire come from heaven. Here it goes. Right after that happened, the queen named Jezebel said, I can't stand this guy. I'm going to kill him, Elijah. And so she sends word to Elijah, I'm going to kill you. And what Elijah does is there's a decision that he makes. I am going to believe the lie of Jezebel over the truth of God. And there's this haunting verse in the Bible that says, and so Elijah went alone into the wilderness. He went alone into the wilderness. Such a sad situation. There's many of us that have gone alone into the wilderness. When you go alone into the wilderness, you begin to forget the truth of God. You think you're the only one. There's wildernesses in America, right? We went on a big road trip in 2017 in an RV, and we were pulling a 30-foot RV behind our truck, and on the west side of New Mexico going into Arizona is the desert. I mean, it is barren. It is just an old-fashioned desert, right? Tumbleweed and cactus. I don't know if you've ever been on these road trips and you've seen the sign. It'll say something like, this is the last stop for gas for the next 253 miles or whatever. You better fill up right now because you're going into the wilderness. There are these signs that were really freaking out Erica on the side of the road that says, if a dust storm comes, pull over to the side of the road and basically just hunker down because you're not gonna. And so we're pulling this 30-foot RV and it's waving back and forth, going like this. And she got really spiritual at that moment. She began to pray and really ask for God's help. But guess what? We had each other. We had each other. And I was telling her, babe, it's not gonna be that big of a deal. Come on, we can do this. And so she was listening to me, and I don't know how much I helped her, but we got through the wilderness together. Elijah went by himself, and he was tired, he was exhausted, he was nervous about the future. He perceived that he was the only one left that was righteous. He thought he was the only one left that didn't bow down, because my perception is flawed. I hide because healing is an effort. Healing is a process. So the presence of the Lord comes to Elijah in that cave and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah says, I'm the only one. And this big storm happens outside the cave. The wind hits and the rain hits. And all of a sudden, Elijah begins to sense the presence of the Lord. In a still, small voice, God says again, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You're not the only one. That's what God says. You're not the only one. In fact, there are 7,000 other people that have not bowed to Baal. 7,000. I would love to see Elijah's face when he hears that from God. What? 7,000? I thought I was the only one. No, I want you to get out of this cave. I want you to go anoint Elisha. I want you to anoint some other people. And then I want you to go find that 7,000. That's the destination I want you to be at. That's the pit stop. That's the place I want you to go, because that's the plan I have for you. Instead of you being tucked away from the plan of God in your life. So listen to the counsel. Accept the discipline of the riders in your vehicle, that you may be wise the rest of your days. That's Proverbs 19 and 20. Would you stand with me? We're gonna sing a song. I purposely ended early today so that we could pray and sing together. Let me ask you this question. Who is on the trip of life with you? Who is speaking values into you? How can you find healthy people to connect with this week? So if you're new to Promised Land and you don't know how to connect, there's several ways. Get here on Sunday and connect with people on Sunday. We have a Next Steps session coming up in the first Sunday of August. Get to that Next Steps session. We're going to teach you all kinds of stuff, help you. But you can show up this week. We have 4 different nights of classes where you can meet people that are going in the same direction you're going in. Tomorrow night is prayer and worship right here in the sanctuary. Pastor Emilio teaches on prayer, and then we pray and we sing in this house right here. They had 25 people, 23 people here last Monday night. It's small enough to get to know people, share emails, share phone numbers. Hey, let's pray together. 7 o'clock on Tuesday, I lead a group over in the student theater. We watch a documentary. We discuss it. We had 23, I think, in mine. 22. And so we talked. There's people that already knew each other. There's brand new people, never been to anything in our church like that before. On Wednesday night, there's 2 classes. There's a class with Pastor Renee talking about coming out of the wilderness. There's a class with Rachel Martinez talking about The Mind Connection. It's a book from Joyce Meyer. On Thursday, there's the Filling of the Holy Spirit class, 7 o'clock. My class on Tuesday is the only one that starts at 6. All the others start at 7. Get into one of these classes. If only just to meet people, all right? We also have small groups that happen during the summer. The majority of our groups happen in the fall and spring, and they take a break in the summer. But we have a handful of groups that are still meeting this summer. In fact, there's a young family group on Friday nights. They eat together, they hang out right over here by the church at a home. So go to our website, find a group, get in a group, join a class, go to a different class every week. Find people to get in your car. Let's pray together, and then we're gonna sing this song. And I'm gonna invite now, in fact, all of our pastors, elders in the church, people on our prayer team to come and line up across the front while we sing this song. If you have a need in your life that you would like for God to help you with, take the hand of somebody up here and y'all gonna pray together. The Bible says wherever 2 or 3 agree as touching anything, Jesus is in the middle of that. We even got hand sanitizer up here for our prayer leaders. So if you're ready for that, as soon as this song starts, you're welcome to just come to the front. So let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Thank you for our opportunity here to connect with you, to hear your word, God. There's some people in here that need to make some disconnections. There's some people that need to have some hard conversations and make some decisions about people in their life. Lord, give them the courage to do that. There's some people in here that need to open up their doors and welcome others in. Lord, give us the courage to do that. In the name of Jesus, Father, we're praying and believing that your will be done in these relationships. And if there's anybody in the house today that's far from you, let's go to him now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you right now. Please forgive me of my sin. I want to walk with you from this day forward. I trust you, Jesus. I trust that you're my Savior, and I invite you into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing and pray.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Of God in helpless babe, His gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Could ever pluck enters or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
I tell you what, we're going to keep praying. If there's anybody else that would like prayer, even after we dismiss, you can come to the front and we'll pray for you as long as you would like. We have plenty of time. So if there's anybody here that like that, we're going to make ourselves available to you. But everybody else that's ready to be dismissed, you are dismissed. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious and be favorable and go with the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.